I invite you to turn to page 493 in the blue hymnal and pray with me. Thanks be to Thee, O Lord Jesus Christ, for all the benefits which Thou hast given us, for all the pains and insults which Thou hast borne for us. O most merciful Redeemer, friend and brother, may we know Thee more clearly, love Thee more dearly, and follow Thee more nearly for Thine own sake. Amen. Our first reading is from Exodus. Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led his flock beyond the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of a bush. He looked, and the bush was blazing, yet it was not consumed. Then Moses said, "I must turn aside and look at this great sight and see why the bush is not burned up." When the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, "Moses, Moses!" And he said, "Here I am." Then God said, "Come no closer. Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground." And God said, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, "I have seen the misery of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their cry on account of their taskmasters. Indeed, I know their sufferings. And I have come down to deliver them from the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey. The cry of the Israelites has now come to me. I have also seen how the Egyptians oppress them. So come, I will send you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" He said, "I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that it is I who sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God on this mountain." But Moses said to God, "If I come to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your ancestors has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is this God's name?' what shall I say to them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am." God said further, "Thus you shall say to the Israelites, 'I am has sent me to you.'" God also said to Moses, "Thus you shall say to the Israelites, 'The Lord, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you.' This is my name forever, and this my title for all generations." The Word of Life.
Listen for the living Word of God as you hear the good news from Matthew's Gospel in the 16th chapter. Jesus began to say to the disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and endure great suffering at the hands of the scribes and the elders and the chief priests and be put to death, and then on the third day be raised again. But Peter took him aside and began to regale him and said, "Lord, God forbid it, Lord, this must not happen to you." But Jesus turned and said, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You are not thinking in God's ways, but in human ways." And then he said to his disciples, "If you want to follow me, then deny yourself. Take up your cross and come with me. Those who want to save their life will lose it. But those who will lose their life for my sake will find it. For what good would it do you to gain the whole world but lose your being? What would you give in exchange for being? This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when I think about Moses in the burning bush, I wonder how many things God had to try before God got Moses' attention. I wonder if maybe God started with something that wasn't so extreme, like maybe a whisper, maybe a gut feeling. And it didn't work. Moses wasn't paying attention. So God sort of escalated and tried something a little more obvious. Maybe a hope or a memory. Maybe an amazing experience in Moses' life. And Moses just didn't notice. Maybe it was that time that Moses killed that guy in Egypt. Maybe it was having to run away. Maybe it was that incident with the sheep at the well. And Zipporah, whom he married. And Goshen, his son. And maybe still, he wasn't quite paying attention. So God finally had to just light a perfectly good bush on fire and shout at him, "Moses, Moses, hey, whoa!" And then Moses said, "Oh, look at this wonderful thing." I wonder that because I know how poorly I pay attention. How often there are these little whispers, these little gut feelings, these little experiences, and I'm not listening. I'm not watching. I don't see. It goes right by me. We spend so much of our time, I think, putting energy into not paying attention. I've talked about this before. It's what I call the water skiing syndrome. As long as you're going fast, you don't sink in. And so we just keep ourselves busy. And we have lots of things to do and places to go and stuff to accomplish and items to check off our little to-do list so that we don't pay attention. Because if we pay attention, we're kind of worried that we might get overwhelmed. Because when God says to Moses, "I am," I don't have a name, I just am. The way God says that is really more like, "I be." I do this thing that is being. In fact, I am being. So being itself is God, which means that God is in all being. So there is this infinite, overwhelming, transcendent presence right here. And that's a little overwhelming. And so we tend to sort of want to back off a little. You can hear that in the story of Moses, right? "Oh, no, who would I be to go to Pharaoh? No, you've got the wrong number. No, not me. It's somebody else. I'm not very good at this. I have a speech impediment. I have company this weekend. I'll help, but I don't want to be in charge." And God has to keep coming back and saying, "Don't worry, I'll deal with that. I'll deal with that." Because we're all like that. There's this sense in which what God invites us into is too overwhelming. It's just too big, too infinite. We're afraid that if we really paid attention in the silence, in the stillness, we might hear Jesus. And he might be saying, "Take up your cross and follow me." That's too scary. But you know what? That's where God is. In those moments that speak to us. And the great thing about Moses is that although he didn't want to do all that stuff, all he had to do was just do whatever God told him to do. God did all the work. That makes us nervous because we don't want to be in that place where Moses was, in which there's no bulletin. There's nothing that says where you are and what's coming next and what you're supposed to do and how long till this is over. That's more like life than having a bulletin, isn't it? There isn't a bulletin. There are no instructions. There's no map. There's no list, and you're on number 12 and you're almost done. The only way through life is to keep listening, to keep paying attention, to wait for what it is that's coming next. And so we pay attention to those small things. We don't wait for the bush to burst into flame. Sometimes it's as small as a single candle in our midst, a single quaver in somebody's voice, a dream, a hope, something that we care about. Some of those things that you've mentioned, the pain that a friend is going through, the anguish, the injustice in the world that we hear about in the headlines. Because the problem is not that God is not paying attention. It's that we're not. You know, sometimes we're always saying, God, do you even hear my prayers? And what we learn from this story about Moses and the burning bush is that God listens. I have heard the cry of my people. God is paying attention. I have seen their oppression. God is intimately present. I know their suffering. And that word to know in Hebrew is the same word that's used in Genesis when Adam knew Eve. And we all giggled in junior high when we learned that that meant sexual intimacy. That's how intimately God knows our suffering. And God also says, and I have come to set them free. God is always present, always setting free. And our job is to listen for what part in that we might play. And you might be Moses, but probably not. You'll just be Aaron. You'll just be Bunny. You'll just be Art. You just do what God tells you to do, and God will do all the work. What infinite wonder and power and possibility is in this moment. What infinite divine presence is right here. If only we look and listen. Where is God trying to get your attention? What are those little things in which maybe God is inviting you to take off your shoes? Where are those places where maybe, if you're very still, you can hear the Spirit call your name? When you hear, say what? Keep listening. Will you pray with me? God, amidst the clatter and the clutter of our minds, you call to us. In our thoughts and feelings, our dreams, in our hopes and fears, among all those attachments and habits, there is also your voice. In all the cries of the world, you are there, calling to us. Help us to listen, to discern, and to follow. God, for your graceful presence, we give you thanks. And we pray for the faith to receive your blessings. to be mindful of your presence and to listen for your voice, and for the courage to trust your deep desire for us, surrendering everything to your love, to live in harmony with your grace. Amen.